Welcome to another awesome episode of Errol Helps Entrepreneurs Increase Visibility, Credibility, and Profitability. Today, I'm super excited about our guest. We have a two-time Grammy nominee here with us to share about his journey, share about his experience, and really just share about success. So today we have with us Sean Ardoin. Sean, I have a list here of how to introduce you, but let me have you introduce yourself here to our audience.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Sean Ardoin from Lake Charles, Louisiana, fourth generation Creole artist, and current two-time Grammy. Go into the Grammys February 10th to become a two-time Grammy winner. Because if I don't believe it, who's gonna believe it?
That's awesome. You know, here's some of the things I was really impressed with as I read up a little bit more on some of the background, and I think we have a lot to talk about here just in terms of entrepreneurship and pursuing success. You know, even this connection came from the opportunity really to connect. This came from some networking and some relationship building over time. And I think a lot of times when we're thinking about success and building, we maybe discount some of the value of really just connecting and legitimately working with people. A lot of interesting opportunities.
Oh, well, I got a whole spiel on that, bro. You know, because I'm motivational speak as well. And relationships are paramount.
Absolutely. Now that's, so you're not just a motivational speaker, you're an ETA certified speaker, correct?
Yes, I am.
Associate Eric Thomas, the number one best and most incredible, game-changing, motivational speaker in the entire world.
In the world, Craig. Of the world, Craig.
Yes. So, got a lot going on. So, I thought this was super interesting. So, you've performed in a lot of different places. So, in terms of the recognition. So, in this case, outside of just really, again, it's pretty big to be Grammy nominated. Performed at the Kennedy Center. Performed at Carnegie Hall. Festivals worldwide. You're live on the BET's Comic View. Been in commercials, had your music in commercials, music in movies, MTV, Road Rules, The Real World, Fraternity Life, Sorority Life, and on Oprah's Network. Like, all that stuff is super crazy cool.
Hey, man, and then the last 12 months, I've had three primetime TV appearances, starting with Oprah's Queen Sugar, and then Bravo TV, Southern Charm, New Orleans. And then a month ago on NCIS New Orleans on CBS.
Wow. That's
it. So it went Oprah's Network, Bravo TV, CBS, primetime.
Wow. It's going to be really crazy interesting to see how things even blow up more, you know, with this type of recognition opportunity. Let's start with your story. All right. So how did you get to this point? So speaking, music, you know, I think even the type of music that you're making and incorporating, it's almost evolutionary with music, and it's different, it's interesting. And so tell us more about, okay, how did you kind of get started on your journey? And, you know, tell us the journey of Sean Ardoin.
Okay, well, the musical journey started because I'm fourth generation. So music has always been in my family. The really cool thing is that it takes a while to get to the point to where you're comfortable in your own skin. A lot of people may not understand that. Like when I'm speaking, I tell people, can't nobody beat you at being you because you're lit. And the thing is, it takes people a minute to realize that they're special and that they have a gift and that their unique gift is what the world is looking for, not their repackaging of someone else's gift. And as an artist, we generally tend to catch that a lot later. Because, you know, there's trends that we have to deal with. There's, you know, social things you got to deal with. And so it's just, you just got to get to that point to where you just really said, well, this is who I am, and my tribe is going to find me. And when they find me, we going to rock until the wheels fall off. Matter of fact, when the wheel fall off, we're going to put another one on, and we're going to keep retreading it, and we're going to keep on moving until we just don't want to move no more, you know? So I started playing at 11 years old. I played drums at 4, and then at 11 years old, I learned how to play the accordion. And from that point, I started playing my dad's band. So professionally, I've been playing for 38 years. Now, the 38 years isn't like a 38 years like 11. We're not playing every weekend, but I'm playing a good bit for an 11-year-old. And as I get older, I become part of the band. And then at some point, me and my little brother take over the band. And then me and my little brother break up. And then now in 99, which this is going on my 20th year of a solo project. So the Grammy noms come at a really cool time, because in my 20th year, I go into my 20th year as a two-time Grammy nominee, which is phenomenal. It's an amazing trip. It's an amazing, you know, lifetime that I've had. And just getting here is about not quitting. I know people talk about that all the time. They're like, oh my God, you know, if you just don't quit, you'll get it. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you don't quit, you'll get it. Because here we are, 2 Grammy nominations, man. You know, it's amazing.
That is interesting. So yeah, in this case, so you've been doing music for a long period of time, kind of going after it, experiencing different things, producing. And so then in this case, the move to kind of the speaking and trying to provide motivation to other individuals. How did that come up? How did that sort of, when did that start, and how did that come up?
Okay. Well, I've always been coaching people. I've always been motivating people. I just didn't know you could get paid for it.
Okay. Okay.
like that's my personality. It's who I am. I'm a flamingo. As far as the 4 animals are concerned, I'm a flamingo. And I have a high chameleon and high gorilla. So, Pete, y'all don't know what that means. It just means that I'm very, very, very people oriented. I can make a decision and I understand process, but my details, very low. So don't bog me down with detail, but I've always been really concerned with people. I love people. So I was reading this book about what's your one word. My one word is people. Because everything I've done, everything I do is always people-centered. And so I've been following Eric Thomas since 2010, something like that.
Okay.
And I had to change the way I said this. I wanted to bring him here to speak in the schools. And I was going to say, but I just didn't get to do it. No, I wanted to bring him here in the schools, and I quit before I could get him in the schools. You know what I'm saying? I want to take full responsibility for that, because I think that would have been a really cool point to get him before he blew up. I felt like he was about to blow up. And I mean, like right after that, man, it went from to whatever he was charging to see, you can't see my hand anymore. Right. That's where it went to. And so I just stayed in relationship. And then one day he sent out the email about P7D. And P7D was his thing for speakers, people who wanted to public speak. And I was like, you know what, man? I sold cars for a little while. When I stopped playing music for a minute, spiritual reasons, God was like, stop. So I stopped. And I went and sold cars for a while. Didn't understand why I was selling cars, but I went to sell cars because I learned that in that car selling time, I learned to network, negotiate, prospect, say no, be told no, and I don't take business personally. And I also understood that since I don't take business personal, I understand now that if you're not booking my band, it's because you don't see the value in my band. If you're not booking me to speak, it's because you don't see the value in my speaking. So it's my job to increase your value quotient so that you can then come back to book me. So I'm selling cars. I'm doing all this stuff, and P7D comes. And while we're selling cars, the owner of the dealership has us watching motivational videos every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I do that already. And these dudes are getting paid. How much? Oh, yeah. I got to investigate that. Never investigated it. Another thing, when you get an idea and you see that you can do something, go get it. Go after it. Because the only reason you don't have it is because you didn't go get it. So I go to P7D, and long story short, he offers the class and the course to become a certified ETA speaker. So I join it, I become one of the first 20 to get certified. And there's no particular order, but I was in the second or third group to get certified, and my certificate actually says number 20. So I can say I was the first 20 to get certified. And that just blew my mind and opened up my mind to all kinds of other prospects. I'll be speaking at the Education Credit Council's national convention in New Orleans the day after the Grammys. So I'm going to have to fly on a red eye to go to New Orleans and speak at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Interesting.
The grind is definitely real. So that's how I got hooked up with ET. I responded to the call, and it's been a blessing on my life, man. It's changed a whole bunch of stuff. I started coaching people, and I success coached them, you know, and basically it's not, like I told you in our email, it's not a niche thing where I just coach speakers, because I do multiple things. And at the end of the day, the principles don't change. Entrepreneurship, the principles don't change, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, really taking a look at pretty much any of the pursuits. I mean, you've been kind of working at, trying to build your own success within different ways. And so I guess if you're taking a look at sort of some of the processes or the challenges you have, any particular challenges that you would sort of highlight, or things that sort of underlie the process of trying to succeed?
Oh my God. There are more forces against you than are for you. The thing you have to manage is the things you concentrate on. You have got to concentrate on the things that are for you, because everything will rise up against you whenever you try to be successful. And then whenever you try to be successful and you're doing something unique and different, there'll be even more forces that are for you. And that's whenever you have to press in to the people who are against you. And that's when you have to press into the things that are for you, because it's really easy to quit. And so many people quit before they get success. Like some things that, like, first of all, like for me in my walk, there's been a family quotient. There's been some family members who, you know, I've had to not listen to or have to overcome relationship with or whatever to be successful. And then you have friends who, you know, your friends who you think are your friends, but then whenever it comes down to it and you get the real story as to why you didn't get that gig or why you didn't get that opportunity that you thought was going to be a great thing, then you find out that friend was the one who shut that opportunity down. That'll shake you. And if you're not strong enough and you're not determined, and if you don't put your vision before you enough, then you could stop and fail. But there are going to be many opportunities for you to quit along the way to success. You just can't take any of those opportunities.
How would you say that you've stayed focused throughout that to be resilient and to keep going? You know, what's been that for you?
Well, Errol, one thing I can say is I'm stupid. And when I let me clarify stupid. I'm stupid because I don't take no for an answer. I'm stupid because when people tell me I can't do something, I have this overwhelming urge to prove them wrong. Now, that's a good thing and a bad thing, because a lot of times, you know, in your efforts to prove them wrong, you're going too far out the way. So you got to temper that. That's a good thing to have, but you got to learn how to temper it to make it productive and not just to prove a point and be selfish. So and tell me that question again.
So what in terms of for keeping your
path? Got it.
Your focus.
Yes. Keeping focus. I have a method called the SSG method. Is see it, say it, get to work. One more time. That's see it, say it, get to work. And it don't work if you don't clap it. You got to clap it. So what it is you have to see your goal. Mm-hmm. You have to visually see where you're trying to go. And then you have to say it. Now, the minimum amount of times you need to say it is when you wake up and before you go to sleep. Okay. Now, what's cool about that is if it's on your mind and you can really see it, you can say it all day long. It doesn't hurt to say it more than time, but you have to say it at least twice. Then once you've seen your goal and you've set it in the morning, you've set it in the evening, and you've set it throughout the day, now you got to get to work doing everything you can do to bring that goal to pass. And when I say everything, I mean everything. You know, if you're a believer, if you have faith, then you believe in your faith. You believe like it all depends on your faith, and then you work like everything depends on you. Okay? I mean, I have my vision board. It's over there. You can't see it. You have to put it before you where you can see it. If you look on my phone, if you could see my screensaver and my wallpaper, it's a Grammy Award. I put it before me. I go and talk to these kids and I tell them, I said, you know, and these adults, these people, I said, what is your goal? And when they tell me their goal, I said, okay, let me see your phone. And I get their phone. They got pictures of something that don't even relate to their goal. I'm like, you know, if it's your wife, then that's cool because she's your why. But if it's not your wife, if it's something just frivolous, then you're missing an opportunity to keep yourself motivated. So I attribute the fact that I used the SSG method. I saw it, I said it, and I got to work. I kept my goal always before me. My why is big. You have to have a big enough why. And my why is my wife. She just retired, and the retirement was looming. So I was like, this has got to pop, because when she retires, we have to go up instead of going down. You know what I'm saying? And so I kept my why in front of me. I say it all the time. And then I get to work like it depends on me. And another thing I always say is that life happens at the speed of relationship, and your relationships will determine the speed and direction of your life. So I have what you call your fire five. Who are your fire five? These five people will be the ones that will either keep your fire hot or cool it down. Because there's no such thing as coasting. There's no such thing as coasting. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. So I keep my circle tight. I keep relationships at a premium. I treat relationships at a premium. And everyone I meet, I give them 100% of my attention when I meet them. Because people remember the way you treated them. You can never get to the point to where you're too big or you're too famous. Are you too whatever to deal with people on a people level? You know what I'm saying? That NCIS New Orleans appearance happened because when I played a gig in New Orleans, the sound guy out in front is the music director for NCIS New Orleans.
Yes.
So had I not been nice to him and went out and talked to him before my show, which is something I do all the time, then I never would have got the show.
So this, I think, so we just got into the meat of something phenomenal. And so I think there's so much to what you just said, and tying it back into what you were talking about at the beginning of sort of, I would say, niching down and knowing sort of who you're looking to connect with and not caring about any other reason. And so essentially, I think from there, you know, taking a look at really what your what your why is, being focused and just really trying to your what's the right word? So I guess just being focused directly on something that is organically your focus and trying to build on that, and then trying to connect with a lot of people. You're going to build relationships, and the opportunities will come up from there.
Yeah, because here's the deal. You need to be cultivating relationships like you know, in the video game, like Pac-Man collects the dots, you know, like Sonic collects the coins, or like whatever game. I'm old school, so you see all those old school games. You know what I'm saying? You have to collect, you have to get those relationships popping, because you never know when you're going to need them, and you never know what those relationships are going to bring. You know, at the end of the day, it might just be a really good friend that you have. It might just be a really cool person that you've met, but you never know. So everybody is a potential relationship that can change your life. You might meet somebody one day and they're the sound guy at your gig. And the next day they're calling you saying, hey, do you want to be on primetime TV?
Right. Well, and I think I got lost there with what I was saying too a little bit. It's, the thing is, you have to be authentic, and it's got to be your authentic why or your authentic passion has to come out, and that's what other people will see. So when they see that you're living in your truth, you've got your focus niche, you're trying to serve particular you know, a particular individual you're trying to communicate your what you're passionate about, and that resonates more than I think really trying to pursue things where you don't have that focus. And that's where something new comes up, and that's where you get connected to a lot of different opportunities.
That's exactly right, man. You know, being authentic is being authentic should be the thing that you strive for. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're authentic, people can sense that, they respect that. And also when you meet people, I mean, I'm telling y'all this, but there's some people who may hear what I'm saying and they may just go out and just try to forge all kinds of relationships. People understand whenever you're just collecting relationships. Like I said earlier, I said, I'm 100% focused on the person I'm talking to. I'm not looking around trying to see who my next hustle is. You dig what I'm saying? I'm focused on that person, and people remember that you gave them 100% of your time. I don't care if it's just a few minutes or a few seconds or whatever, they're going to remember that connection. So when I say collect those coins, those relationships like coins, I mean for real, but I'm a people, I'm a flamingo. I'm a people person. So that's who I am at my core. And so whenever I meet these people, I'm all in. And when I see them again, I remember them, you know, and I generally remember what we talk about. Now, that's a gift that I've got. I don't know where it came from. I got it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it can't be cultivated, because it can, but it's something that comes to me naturally. But relationships for me have been the cornerstone of my success, besides my grind, because your grind has to be there. You have got to put in more work than the next man, because the next man, when he's sleeping, you need to be working. You know, whenever everybody else quits, you need to keep going. You need to be that person if you want to be successful, because anybody that you know that is successful, 99.9% of them have A, failed, and B, been at it a long time. Nobody just comes up out of nowhere. Those people are 0.1% of successful people, in my opinion.
Well, it's kind of like what you said with the opportunity to be on prime time. You know, you've been grinding at your thing for, you know, over 20 years, and you're there, you built those relationships, and, you know, you had a relationship, for example, that was able to give you that opportunity, but you're able to bring the package to that particular opportunity. There was somebody else that gave you the opportunity. And it's always so interesting that really you can really try to go after success and you try to produce it, but really you're producing, but it's really all these other people that then see that have more influence or more opportunity or more of a presence where they can put you in front of other people. And really when they endorse you, then you pop off. Then I think that's where a lot of the success happens.
You've got to be ready. Because I know people who are pursuing opportunities, but they're not ready. So the worst thing in the world is to get an opportunity and not be able to take advantage of the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know people who have secured the bag. They got the gig. They got the money. And they showed up to the gig and they weren't ready. And as a consequence, it was a one-time thing.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I talk. And the other thing is, if you... And I'm using ET stuff because it's so his stuff. He's done it, and it's so simple and it's so go-to. But if you stay ready, you don't ever have to get ready. When I met that guy 4.5 years ago, and he said, "Do you own your own music?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you own your own publishing?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you write your own songs?" I said, "Yes." And then I said, "Do you need them right now? I can send them to you. I will Dropbox you right now." You see what I'm saying? When he met me, I was ready for the opportunity. Now, fast forward. That was 4 years ago. So when he met me, I was ready, but the opportunity didn't come till 4 years later.
Absolutely. Well, tell me this. So, you know, while we're talking about this, the song that you have out right now, the Kick Rock, so it very much relates to be yourself. Like, you got to be yourself. So I almost think that probably within this album and this song, there's a lot that relates really to what we're talking about here. Can you tell us a little more about the sort of how you wrote this album and sort of the concepts that are there and the, you know, the song that's currently out. Can you tell us how that relates really to this pursuit?
Oh, like how the song relates to everything that I'm doing?
Yeah, I guess so. There must be an overall theme to relate there, and can you relate certain parts from there?
Oh yeah. So the song I wrote the song. Well, my son's one of my son's best friends. His name's Greg Simeon Jr. I got with him because I just wanted to get with a guitar player to bounce some ideas, and he came up with that guitar line. Right, he had said he had been playing that, and he knew that guitar line was special. But when I heard it, I was like, "That is a special guitar line." So let me get that. Let me work with that. And so I ended up writing to his guitar parts, and I knew it was going to be a song about relationships. And all I could remember was, and I was like, I got it in there. So that's all I knew for a year and a half, almost 2 years, all I could hear. And then I started writing to everything this year in June. So I wrote everything that's not a cover or the last song, which is You Complete Me. I wrote like six songs for the CD in June. I actually wrote the lyrics and arranged and everything in June. Got my son to help me write a couple of them, but we did everything in June. So when I wrote this, the song is about a relationship, a guy's relationship with a girl. And it's like, if I gotta be me, I can't be no one else besides myself, and if you can't see that I'm the man for you, oh well, then do what you do, kick rocks, go. Right. And that's been pretty much how I live my life, period, with people, and it's a safe way to be, because if somebody doesn't want to be in your life, you got to let them go. Because you keep toxic people around and you become toxic. You keep people who don't want to be there, you don't want to be in your life around, and that stuff rubs off on you. Like I tell the kids, I said, you got to realize something, that people will infect you before you affect them. They'll infect you on the inside before you affect them on the outside. And that's not a good trade-off. So in relationship or in business or whatever, you got to be yourself, and you got to know who's for you. And if somebody doesn't want to be for you, money won't keep them around. Things won't keep them around. Nothing will keep them there if they want to go. So it's best just to let them go. And that's what the song is saying. And it's just kind of cool that it comes out, and most people don't even hear the kick rocks part. They just hear the, I got to be me. Can't be no one else. That's all they hear.
I was listening actually to the song last night, and I was showing my wife. I said, hey, I'm going to be talking with Sean here tomorrow. And I played the song, and specifically when I heard the kick rocks, that specifically is actually what I almost like busted out. I said, he just said kick rocks.
I did.
So smart. And, what is that? And I was like, he just told me to kick rocks. Like that was pretty classic. That actually really, that particular part really stood out to me.
Sweet. So you understand kick rocks. Rocks is in your vocabulary.
Yes. Well, very good. Well, some of the themes too, as you're speaking through that, I'm thinking a lot about marketing. And so how it's important to just have your target audience, have your message, and ultimately you've got to have it almost to the point where you can say, look, this is not for you. Particular audience, this is not for you.
Yeah. Dude, let me tell you something. I come from Louisiana music is Louisiana Creole music is what my family plays, right? Started with Amede Ardoin, whose repertoire is the basis for all Cajun and Creole music. And then at some point in about the mid to late 80s, everything with a black man and accordion became Zydeco music. So we play Zydeco music, right? So during the course of our careers, at some point, Zydeco music became like reggae and blues. It's an African American originated music, but it started to get appropriating. It started to get appropriated by people outside of the community, right? And then there was this all kind of factors that led to the local artists who are popular here not going out on the road to ply our wares, right? Because the way it used to work would be you'd be popular here and then you'd go out on the road as the biggest band in Zydeco. And the world would just embrace you as the biggest band in Zydeco, right? Mm-hmm. Well, at some point, that whole model just got blown to bits. But people love Zydeco. So there are tribute bands all over the world who are playing Zydeco music. And so when people hear Zydeco music, they either love it or they hate it. But whatever they love or hate isn't what we do here in Louisiana and Southeast Texas today. Right. So on the branding side, I had to understand who I was. I had to understand who my target market was. And my target market was everyone outside of this state. OK, that's everyone in the world, except for the people in Louisiana and Southeast Texas, because I don't have to explain to them what I do. When I show up with my accordion and I got the scrubboard player, when I got my T-shirt, hey, branding, when I got my T-shirt, you know, they understand, hey, that dude plays Zydeco music. But the Zydeco music, the perception of Zydeco has become so watered down and generic that I needed to get outside of that box so that I could be considered as an artist first. Because what happens is, because we haven't been going out to the world to ply our wares, the market value has dropped for Zydeco bands. So for me to even say I'm a Zydeco band out in the marketplace brings my market value down. So I created a whole new genre. And the genre pretty much says what you're getting when you get me: Creole, rock, and soul. Creole, rock, and soul. It almost doesn't have to be explained, but when I say Creole, rock, and soul, I always get this: ooh, what's that? And I get control of the narrative back, which was the whole point. Because at some point, the artist from Southwest Louisiana lost control of the Zydeco narrative, and so I had to figure out a way to get it back. And that's my way of getting it back, and it's been working.
Man, that's fascinating, and that has so much application to business and branding. I love that you brought up branding and the sort of taking just this very specific niche. Ultimately, the thing is that when it's that specific and it's new, the thing is that it's going to attract other people that are looking for that. And probably part of what resonates from a music standpoint is probably that people are looking for new sounds, looking for something, and they know that probably, okay, maybe I can find it there. But that's the type of thing where it's so specific that people want to be searching for it.
Right.
And so that is something that's different when you get really specific and you can say, look, this is what I'm about. This is what I offer. I made this for you, right? Maybe not be for you, but it's for you. And then the people that you know it's specifically for, there's so many more people that are going to be really kind of looking to find that. And as you build your network and your visibility, ultimately, there's more ways that it attracts. And I think that just relates to business in general.
Oh, yeah. This is how it relates to business. I'm going to give it to you exactly how it relates to business. You may have been having a business model for years, right? And there may be similar business people out there operating in that same model. Now, what separates you from them? That's all I did. I just figured out what separated me. What was my unique proposition? You know what I'm saying? What was my unique proposition? What did I uniquely bring to this music game? And I found a way to package it. Three words, no more than three words. If you can do this thing between one and three words, then you will enable yourself to separate yourself from the market, because you can easily identify and it's easily replicatable. So once you say, like I say, Creole, rock, and soul, then people start saying, oh yeah, that's the guy that plays Creole, rock, and soul, right? So if I sold cars, I would be like, you know, high value, low price. That's four words, but If I just beat them up with high value, low price, high value, easy process, no sweat, you know, no sweat purchasing, you know, whatever. If that became my thing and I stuck with it, that separates me from everybody else. But you can only do that if you understand who you are in the marketplace. So you've got to see how you're positioned in the marketplace. If you're not the biggest guy in the marketplace, then you can't say big guy things. You know, you just got to figure out where you fit in, and you got to own that market. And like we say with ETA, you got to find the gaps. If you can find where there's a gap and fill that gap, you know, then that's where you're going to thrive. the gap for us was that none of the bands here in Louisiana were touring. None of the bands who played the music that can be played in Southwest Louisiana were taking that music and taking it out to the world. So there's a huge opening. It's like the two shoe salesmen. I think I forgot who said it's Dave Anderson or one of those guys, or Zig Ziglar. They said the two shoe salespeople, they go to a village on a deserted island, and on an old village that are just being modernized. And they go there, and the first guy goes, "They don't wear shoes." And the second guy goes, "They don't wear shoes." You dig what I'm saying? One guy sees opportunity, and the other guy just sees a problem. If you can become the person that sees the opportunity and sees a solution, then you can be the person that can blow your brand up and take it to a whole nother level. See, I saw the solution being there's a whole world that doesn't get to experience what we do. There's a whole world that doesn't understand that we have language, that we have food, that we have a dance, that we have culture, that we have music that is fire. And nobody's out there bringing it to them. So I'm going to bring it to them and I'm going to repackage it so that I'm the source point of contact. Creole rock and soul. Now, what I'm going to do once I get the attention is I'm going to direct it back to the state of Louisiana, Southwest Louisiana, Southeast Texas, so that we can increase the tourism so that the music can live, because that's the whole thing. And that's the other thing. It's never about selfish. If you're all about self, you're going to find yourself tapping out really quickly. See, my goal is way bigger than myself. When I turned 40, I've always been a big proponent of the Creole culture. But when I turned 40, everything became about legacy. Everything became about legacy. You know, and so my Creole heritage, my Creole legacy is paramount to me. It's something that I want to preserve, something that I want to promote. And the way I do that is by increasing my visibility in the marketplace so that I can be a go-to person for that. So I started the Creole Hall of Fame. We've already inducted two classes. And I did a super group of Creole artists and called that Creole United. I did that with my cousin Andre. And I started a Creole language initiative. Because once my parents died and my parents and their generation passed, then our dialect of Louisiana Creole is going to be gone. So the onus is on us to protect that. So see, I got something bigger than myself that I'm shooting for. But you see what I'm saying? So whatever your career is, whatever your path is, find, you know, get that purpose now. You got to get that purpose. What is your niche? And then figure out how that can help benefit people's lives. And once you do that, it's there.
So here's a question for somebody that's saying, how do I determine my niche or how do I focus? I do, you know, whatever it is. How would you say somebody can niche down and find a purpose bigger than themselves to serve that will help them to be more engaging and to be more attracted to the market and to create these types of opportunities?
Okay. So the first thing you got to do is find out, is seek internally for what your purpose is. A lot of times your purpose is connected to your passion. Sometimes not, right? Because I know some people whose passion isn't their purpose and they end up going after their passion and end up being kind of happy but miserable because the purpose is where the prosperity lies, you know? So to find your purpose, what's the thing that people do that you cannot stand when they do it wrong? You can start there. You know, what are you really, and I got to use the word passionate, but what are you really passionate about people not doing correctly? 9 times out of 10, that's going to be your purpose. See, with me, it's people and it's music. When I see people living below their potential, I have to speak up. When I see stuff isn't being done right, you know, I kind of speak up. You know, and with the music, I want to play my music and I want to make people happy. So making people happy and helping people to learn how to be happy all fall in to my wheelhouse. Playing music helps people to choose because, okay, let me say, I can't make anybody happy. All I can do is present the opportunity and the right environment for people to choose to be happy, right? Mm-hmm. So with my music, I get to do that. And then with my speaking and my coaching, I get to help them find their passion and find their way to go and get everything that, that they have coming to them. Because everyone was placed on this earth with a purpose and a passion, right? And your purpose is the thing that's gonna sustain you. And your passion is gonna be the thing that fulfill you. And sometimes in those rare people, your purpose and your passion are one and the same. And so you can be fulfilled and sustained.
Absolutely. I think that's really cool. Well, you know,
did that help or did I go in a circle? Did that help?
I think that does. I mean, that answers it again, kind of getting down to trying to find out what your passion is to drive you, seeing, you know, really what moves you based on, you know, maybe what really, I guess, frustrates you, or essentially just trying to figure out again what you can focus on to really, I guess, feel naturally moved to do
things. Right. For example, Errol, when I was selling cars, I loved selling cars, but I hated the process.
Tell me more on that.
Okay. I love selling cars because I got to be around people. I got to see different people every day. And for me, I'm used to traveling the world and being gone and meeting different people on a regular basis. And when I stopped doing that, I had to have an outlet. You know, and I feel like God sent me to sell cars. And when I'm selling cars, I mean, I would deal with the people and then we just get around to happen to sell them a car, you know? Mm-hmm. As far as the process is concerned, when I say process, there's so many things that we have to deal with when selling a car that don't have anything to do with selling a car sometimes that kind of gets in the way. And I figured that for me, it wasn't even the car. I could be selling phones and it would be the same thing. I would love the people part and hate the process part. So when I break it down to that and be real with myself, then I would be a fool to try to make selling cars my only thing and my purpose, because there was so much of the process and so much of the actual entity that I just did not like. I couldn't stand it. The negotiation part, it was cool. I didn't have a problem with that, you know, but just like the paperwork and the big quotas. I say big quotas and the quotas, you know, and I know you have to have a standard, but whenever you're dealing with someone buying something, you don't necessarily have control over that, you know? Then I realized, you know, I kind of like having control of my own future. I didn't like working for someone else, you know, because I had been working for myself since I was young. So going and working for someone else, while it taught me humility and it taught me process, and that if I don't have a process, then I will drop the ball somewhere and my business won't be as productive as it could be. You know, so selling cars was cool. I met a lot of people. I was able to bless a lot of lives, help a lot of people. I mean, on a test drive, you're liable to hear anything. I mean, you hear life stories, you know, we go through it and I help them. And some of those people, I knew they couldn't buy a car when I met them. But I knew that my purpose was to go and talk to them and help them get to that next decision that they were trying to get to. And so we take a ride, you know, take a test drive, and we get back and I checked their credit and they were like a 300. And I knew they were a 300. Because after you've done it for a little while, very few people that you can't pretty much see where they are. But whenever you're good at your job, you don't ever prejudge. That's the hardest thing to do in selling cars. So a lot of people get jaded and they prejudge folk. And some people dress down to go buy a car. Mm-hmm. That prejudging will come to bite you in the butt. I never did it. The one time I was about to do it, I checked myself. And I'm glad I did, because that person ended up being an 800. And they ended up being ready to buy that day. And if I hadn't gone out there and talked to them, somebody else would have got that sale. If I'd have prejudged them, somebody else would have got that sale. So bottom line, I love the people part of it, but the actual business part of it, didn't love it. This music business, I love every single aspect of it. The speaking business, I love every, the coaching, I love every single aspect of it. So that means it's a part of me. It's right there. It's in line with my purpose because I'm dealing with people. And it's my passion because I love people. So it's, I'm one of those people who actually get to have everything that I desire in my passion and my purpose.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, let me see. I think, so from here, I think we covered pretty much most of what I think, I had some thought to kind of go over. Anything else you would like to share or talk about?
Oh man, it's all kind of stuff, man. I mean, I'm loving it all. You know what I'm saying? I love people, man. I love giving them the information that they need. I mean, here's one thing I can leave with entrepreneurs. If you work in a job and you feel like you're an entrepreneur, first of all, you got to get your why, right? The second thing that you need to do is figure out what your purpose is. And when I say, and so your why, and then there's your why am I here? Your why is who you do or what you do for. Like if it's my why is I want to be a millionaire. So that's why I do it. My why is I want to take care of my family. That's it. But then your why am I here? So many people have gone through their lives not asking why am I here, right? If you ask yourself, why am I here? And you can deal with, and you can get to the point to where your mind is starting to work and your spirit is going, okay, you're here to do this. Then you can start going and your entrepreneurial spirit, 9 times out of 10 is for that purpose. You know, because entrepreneurs aren't born. I mean, entrepreneurs aren't made, they're born.
This is interesting. So I think, so with that, is that if you look at how you might present whatever business it is that you do to somebody and you're trying to market it, you've got the external service or the external product that you can literally help somebody with, but that's not really what people buy. There's an internal motivation that somebody has, or internal story. They talk so much about hearing what the narrative is that somebody has and speaking to that narrative. You've got to create that story. Is it almost seems like, again, here with entrepreneurship, right, and doing business entrepreneurially, is that you've got to kind of create or hone in or determine what that narrative is for yourself, which has to be some type of story that has some significant meaning for you. And so the entrepreneur has developed a clear story of their narrative that they own. And I guess I would almost say, maybe this is related to, again, the success with music, is that once you own that narrative and you're authentically in that story, that's something that other people see and feel, and you're living out that particular narrative, and then you're attracting around you people that see that and want to sort of, they resonate with that.
100%.
Like you said, it doesn't matter what you do. You could do any type of business as long as you're within that narrative and you're out, again, not to go and just make money or not to, again, just to collect names. You're literally on that mission and people feel that mission and you meet people with that mission and they see it and they feel it and they want to help support and build it, or they see that you're on the same mission. So you got to go on the mission together.
Yeah,
really, I think that's what I'm hearing there. And I think there's a lot of undertones here. In this case, really, even for broadcasting this sort of on Facebook, I think just overall this story and your story of success and how you're focused entrepreneurially, it's different than a lot of the other entrepreneurs I've had the opportunity to kind of speak to. But I think there's a lot of depth here to the story and how it applies really to just pursuing your dream, pursuing your passion. And there's a lot to break down here, I think, to help people
Check this out. On what you just said, I was a Zydeco artist, right? And I was in the pack. As soon as I said I was a Creole rock and soul artist, it wasn't a few months after I said that I was a Creole rock and soul artist that stuff just started breaking for me. It's amazing. You know, me and my cousin tried with alternative Creole, and that was cool, but that just didn't roll off the tongue, and it had a different kind of connotation when you say it. Like, and then he said, you know what, man, I'm not really feeling that anymore. And I said, yeah, okay, well, what are we going to do? And then he said he was going to do accordion soul. Well, that's cool for him because he's a brilliant accordionist. right? And so I was like, well, if he's got that, I can't even co-sign that, because I can't even identify, and I can't wholeheartedly say that I'm an accordion soul artist, because that's not authentic to me. So what am I? So what I told y'all to do, I stepped back and I said, what is my unique proposition to the marketplace?
There you go, man. That's it.
You know, what is my unique proposition to the marketplace? I'm high energy. I have all kinds of musical influences. Whenever I'm on stage, I give 120%. I know it's not possible, but I give 100%. And if I ain't got no more, I'm still giving. Okay. And so what does that look like? Well, that's rock and roll, baby, because when you've done, you know, you've gave everything. You know, rock and roll is tragic to some people because they've given everything and it's a short span. So it's Creole, rock, and soul, because everything I do with my heart, with my mind, my will, and my emotions, right? That's your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. I do everything with my soul. So I'm Creole, I'm rocking, and I do it with soul. It's who I am in every single aspect of my life. And when I started owning that and just living in that and just marinating in that and just put my unique proposition, the USP is what they call it in sales, your unique sales proposition. When I put my unique sales proposition out there, people were like, hey, I want to taste that. So much so that whenever I put my product out, my album got the nomination, and I worked the album. But I want to go on record and tell you, I had no way of working the single, because the way you get a Grammy nomination is that we have 16,000 people. I'm on the governing board for my chapter, right? So I'm involved. First of all, I had to get involved. I had to get involved in the process. See, people think it's like it just happens by spontaneous generation. It doesn't. You've got to see it, say it, and get to work. I saw that I wanted to be on the board. Look, it took me 6 to 8 years to get on the board. I didn't quit. I kept showing up. When I decided I wanted to be on the board, I started showing up. I showed up to every meeting. I have a shirt. Matter of fact, I ain't even gonna show you. I have a shirt that says at Sean Ardoin. It has my social media handle. I wore that shirt everywhere I went. I still wear that shirt, but now I got CSA Get to Work, and I got my logo shirt. So I kind of break it up a little bit. But I wore that shirt everywhere. It's so much to the point to where whenever I show up and I didn't have it on, they were like, hey, man, I almost didn't recognize you because you didn't have your shirt on. But when it came time to vote for the board, that shirt helped me get elected. Showing up helped me get elected. So I made it to the governing board. So I want to get a Grammy. How do you do that? Well, we have 16,000 people. We enter our projects. They go to a committee that makes sure they're in the right place. Then it goes to the body. We vote. Then it goes to the nomination committee. They vote. So when I'm at the body and I'm promoting my CD, I know people I can directly promote to, right? Mm-hmm. The single, I don't know anybody in Americana. I don't know anybody in American roots and the blues and the Americana thing and the blues, the traditional R&B. I don't know none of these people. So my product that I was authentic to in the studio stood on its own and rose to the top. That song beat out over 300 other songs from people who you might know, people who are multi-million selling artists. So you can't tell me that seeing your vision and saying it and then getting to work don't work, because I just worked it for two Grammy nominations. And after February 10th, we believe in it's going to be two Grammys.
It's going to happen, man. I see it.
Bro, I'm saying, you know, if you don't believe you, who going to believe you?
Absolutely. Well, what I would say is this. So maybe what we can take back from this this interview and this conversation is that what we all need to do is put some Creole rock and soul into our pursuits.
And speaking of which, please go stream it. Do like the big time people, they have listening parties. They got millions of followers. So they say, look, today, put our CD on Spotify, iTunes, iPod, whatever you use it, and turn the volume down and put it on repeat and let it play all day for a few days. Look, y'all do that for your boy. The Creole Rock and Soul, Sean Ardoin, wherever you are. Because nowadays the streams count, right? The streams count. So you need some Creole rock and soul in your life, I'd appreciate that. Share the video. We'll put the video in the comment so y'all can check that out, because we need views. We got to have views, because in this day and age in the music business, you need to have social media presence. You need to show the numbers, and I need the numbers. I need y'all's help, and I ain't too proud to beg. I'm asking for it.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, Sean, thank you so much for joining us. And absolutely, it's a really, really awesome song, Kick Rocks.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. You know, just an outstanding story. I love really how really all this is, has been conveyed. I think it's really cool. And I appreciate the opportunity to have you on here.
Man, I want to thank you for having me, man, because, you know, we're doing something right now that I call co-hustling.
True.
It's called co-hustling. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's – so I guess – well, this is another point. So it's this networking piece and this thing that you mentioned about getting in, getting – you know, working into showing up, making these connections, and ultimately you need to get other people that help to promote what you're doing, that help present other opportunities. And really, it's not, you know, you could be the most skilled person in what you do, but if you don't have other people that are going to help.
You can't be great on your own.
Absolutely.
You cannot be great on your own. You can do nothing great on your own. So you need other people. So you might as well get to getting other people on your team. People understand authenticity. And as far as you entrepreneurs out there, listen, people don't buy products. They buy people. They buy from people that they like. So if they don't like you, they're not buying from you. They don't like you, your product can be the best in the world. If they don't like you and they don't see you as authentic, they will not do business with you.
And that's why you have to find your authentic voice, your authentic passion, because that's what people buy. Because then you have a story that resonates with the narrative that's going on in the other mind of the other person. Or perhaps they have a narrative that's missing a piece. And when they hear something like Creole rock and soul, they're like, oh, that's where the other piece is. And they're like, I have to go and check that out. Or,
yep,
like, you know what? I'm on that same tip and I need to rock with other people like that to move forward, to create other opportunities or to be able to connect. And ultimately, you know, that's what it's all about.
That's right, man. Thank you for having me on this thing, man. And everybody out there, remember, you got to see what you want to have. See your goal. Put it before you. You got to say it at least twice a day. And then you got to get to work making that thing happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can add in there, I guess if I were to have one saying is you got to fail your way to success. You got to
fail forward, and fail fast.
I'ma let you go run free. And as you go, walk out that door. Come on, then, mama, won't you shake it for me? You know I gotta be me. Can't be no one else besides myself. Yeah. And if you can't see that I'm the man for you, always be there. So, well, Kick Rocks. Hey there, I'm a little rough at the seams. Under my nails, raise a little hell, but what you get is what you see. Well, you say that you can't be seen with me in my ball cap with the blue jeans. Well, I'm just like a Harley motorbike, baby, you just gotta tanker with me. You know I gotta be me, can't be no one else inside myself. We'll be right back.
you see them fly, cause you kick rocks. Remember that you wanted to go free. And as you go, walk out that door. Come on, mama, won't you shake it for me? You know I gotta be me.